Welcome to the CLC podcast. CLC is the Columbus Leadership Campus of Point University located at North Highland Church. CLC exists to equip young leaders and to help them unlock their God-given potential through practical ministry training and a biblical education. For more information about our school, you can visit our website at clcgeorgia.com.
Well, thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to come in here and speak. I follow you guys, CLC, on every social media platform. I love what God is doing here in Georgia through CLC and our schools and ministry. You guys have some of the best leadership in this state, and I don't just say that because I'm trying to suck up. I got nothing to gain from saying that. It's just the truth. You guys have some amazing leadership here, and I hope you realize how valuable this experience is. When I look back at me graduating and going to Southeastern University, and I wish I had an option like CLC. I wish I had an option like a school of ministry right here where you can get the real hands-on, practical, and intimate community as well as the biblical teaching. Take advantage of this. This is awesome. So thank you guys for doing what you're doing. Thank you for the hard work. Well, I am Pastor Josh. I'm the student ministries pastor at Redemption Church in the far-off land of Rome, Georgia. Normally, when I go back home to Florida and I say I'm coming in from Rome, people get a lot more excited because they think I'm international. But the reality is I just drove a couple hours. I'm so glad to be here, though. But growing up in Southwest Florida, I was always at the beach. Anybody that's your go-to destination if you could? If you could go on, just give me the sunshine, sand, and the waves, and I'm happy. Well, that was me. So North Georgia is a little bit different. I'm out of my element, but I love it. I'm still trying to learn how to go trout fishing, and people get excited about catfish. And to me, that you got mad when you caught a catfish. So it's still weird. But I want to talk to you this morning on just the phrase deeper. You know, this time of worship that we had in here, I see you guys aren't afraid to go deep. You're not afraid to run in after God. But growing up down there in South Florida, I would always go fishing. And one day I was out fishing on the beach with my dad. We went out there. It was early in the morning. I don't know why you always got to go fishing before the sun's up, but apparently that's when you got to go. We never caught anything until afternoon, but we had to be out there before the sun was up. So we're out there crazy early, and we're setting up everything, and we're fishing, and we're catching nothing but what I would consider bait fish. We're catching little things, you know, if it's not bigger than my foot, then it's garbage. Just throw it back away. And we're out there. We're just having an okay time, though. We're catching something. That's better than catching nothing. And then we're out there for a few hours, and then my dad and I see this guy who has just this utility belt on with all sorts of crazy things on it, and he starts wading out into the water, and he goes further and further out into the water, and eventually he's holding his fishing pole, and he's holding some of his stuff above his head as he's walking out, and the water's rising and rising and rising. I'm like, how's this guy going to go fishing? Dad, do we need to call someone? Is this guy breaking down mentally? What's happening? And we get out and we're just watching him, and I start making fun of the guy. I'm like, how's he going to cast the pole like this? Is he going to be fishing with his hands above his head? And then as we continue to watch, the water starts going back down. And before I know it, he's at his calves. This guy knows the water. I didn't know the water out there. He gets up on a sandbar out there. So it's just a part where the water just kind of dips down and then it gets real shallow again. Well, we didn't even know that was there. We're fishing in a tidal pool, my dad and I. This guy's going to go fishing where the big fish are. But he knew where to go. He's been experienced. He knows that if you want to catch big fish, you got to fish in deep water. So he casts his pole out, and he winds up reeling in this good-sized jack. And I don't know if you guys have ever gone deep-sea fishing or ever caught a jack. It's not a catfish, all right? This thing will fight. You know, your arms will be burning. You catch one, pretty much wrap it up for the day because your arms are spent. He pulls this in, and he takes off this thing called a gaff hook. And if you're a friend of fish, I'm sorry. But he takes this gaff hook, and he hooks it into the jack, and he just throws it over his shoulder, and he's walking back, and the water gets deep, and then it gets shallow again. I was absolutely amazed at what this guy was catching, because I knew we were catching nothing but bait fish. And this guy went out to where the deeper water was, and it was in the deeper water where you catch the big fish. And if you're ever going to be able to do great things for God, like big things for God, you are going to have to go into water maybe a little bit deeper than you're used to going. You always need to go further out. You must be willing to go deeper than you have ever gone. Now, young people, hear me. You must go deeper in several areas of your walk with God. You can't just be unbalanced. You have to go deeper in all areas of your life with God. But the first one I want to talk about this morning is you must go deeper in your commitment to God. That guy walking out there, he was committed, right? He wasn't just walking out there and he's like, oh, nope, the water's cold. I'm going to go back up to the shore. No, he was committed. He knew what he was doing. He made up his mind. He came ready. He came with purpose. And he was committed to going out where the big things were. He was committed to going deeper. Proverbs 16, 1 and 3 says this. It says, we can make our plans, but the final outcome is in God's hands. We can always prove that we're right, but is the Lord convinced? Commit your work to the Lord, then it will succeed. Commit your work to the Lord, then it will succeed. And I believe this morning that when we are fully committed, it's where we will go anywhere God calls us to go. You will go further than you ever thought you would go. You would leave home. You would leave your loved ones and go to a place called Rome, Georgia that you don't know exists. Why? Because God's calling you. And it might be deeper and further than you've gone, but you will be willing to go because you are committed. Just breaking down this verse just a little bit. It says we can make our plans, but the final outcome is in God's hands. You know, when I first started off in Bible college and I first started trying to prepare to be a pastor, I had all these plans. I knew what was going to happen, and I started making connections down in South Florida, and I tried bumping elbows with the right people and hanging out with the right folks and making sure that when there was a district gathering, I would sit at the right table with those people that I needed to know. And then I quickly realized that that really didn't matter at all, because it was God's plan that would succeed, not my plan. So what do you commit yourself to? Do you commit yourself to your plan? You know, I'm going to go out to the beach, and I'm going to go fishing, and I'm going to stand on the shore, and I'm going to throw out my pole. And, hey, I'm doing something. I'm catching something. Catching something's better than catching nothing. But I believe that God has dreams for your life that are bigger than you could ever imagine. But it will require that you go deeper in your commitment, that you make up your mind, young person, now, today, to do what God has for you. See, some of you are fishing from the shore telling yourself, it's all right, you're catching something. Like, you know, God, I did enroll in CLC, you know, I'm doing something, and, you know, that's good, and I'm serving at the church, and I'm involved in the ministries here, and I talk to people on Sundays and Wednesdays, and you know, I'm going to class, and I'm doing good. But what happens when you leave this campus? When you get out into the community, are you still as committed? What happens when you're at work? What happens when you're just out at the grocery store? Can I tell you guys just a real quick and short story? When I first got up to Rome, Georgia, I took a bunch of youth students out to eat to this place, Las Palmas. They love Mexican food. I grew up in South Florida. We had no Mexican restaurants. I moved to North Georgia mountains, and they're everywhere. It kind of confuses me, but okay. So we're there, and I order, like, this giant, you know, fajita tray. It's got, like, every type of meat under the sun and everything. So the server's walking out with this tray full of food. And he's coming around, and we got a long table set up, like bigger than they should have set it up. And he bumps the wall with the tray. And in slow-mo, no. Fajitas are falling towards my face. Sizzling hot skillet, fajitas, beans, rice, everything, head to toe, covered in sizzling hot fajitas. I was surprised at what I said, because it was actually good. Like, I gotta be honest, if I'm just being real, my first reaction I thought would have been not so good. I thought I would have to apologize to all the students for the words that came out of my mouth. The first thing that came out of my mouth was, it's all right, it's okay. Hey, man, stuff happens. And I walk into the bathroom, and it was there that I started screaming, like, ah! My leg is bright red. It's burning. And I walk out, and I clean myself up as much as you can in a, you know, Las Palmas bathroom. And I walk back out, and the manager's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I can't believe he did that. I said, no, I mean, that wasn't his problem at all. Like, stuff happens. It's all right. And I just got to ask myself, you know, like, if I wasn't as committed to setting the example in my community outside of the walls of a church as I was inside the walls of a church, what would my words have been? Now, sometimes you can surprise yourself. Hopefully, it's in a good way. Hopefully, you'll see that your commitment is deeper than you even thought it was. So be more committed. Don't just be like, you know, oh, God, I read my Bible a few times a week outside of class and chapel and church services that I have to go to because I'm a leadership school student. Right? We have to read our word, be in it, be committed to those things. And I can tell you, I've been in your shoes. I know how easy it is for the word of God to become a textbook and not your source of life. So students, be committed to learning from God, not just learning in a class. Be committed to living out your faith, not just on campus, but go deeper in your commitment to God and live it out in this community. See, God has much more for you. You're limiting yourself, and you can be so much more. I believe that there's people in here that are kind of like Ferraris, but you're afraid to shift out of first gear. All right? Yeah, there's so much more power in you if you would just be committed to see what God can do through your life. All right, now I'm not telling you to get out on the road and punch it, but I'm telling you spiritually, it's time to shift. Let's make a difference. Let's go. Be committed to see how far and how fast God can take you. You will go deeper, and we must go deeper in our commitment. But we also have to deepen our faith. See, commitment and faith, they go so well together. Commitment and faith, they pair. Because if you're going to be committed to something, you must have a deep level of faith in that thing. We don't commit ourselves to something we don't believe in. We don't commit ourselves to something that we go, well, we'll see what happens. No, like you're committed to something that you have a deep faith in. So I want us to understand that we need to deepen our faith. Deepen our faith. John chapter 14, verse 12 says this. It says, I tell you for certain that if you have faith in me, you will do the same things that I am doing. You will even do greater things. That intimidates me, right? It really does. You will do even greater things now that I'm going back to the Father. Have you put your faith on a leash? Have you constrained and set limitations on your faith? Have you tied the boat of faith to a dock? You might be in the water, but you're not going far. It's time, students, it's time, young people, it's time, leaders, that you cut the rope loose, cut the leash, let your faith run wild. It's time that you release the ropes from the dock and you go deeper. You go deeper. It was when Jesus was calling the disciples, he told them not to just push out, he told them to go out into the deep, and that's where the miracles happened. He told them to go out into the deep, and that's when their boats were filled to almost sinking. We must push out into the deep. Our faith has to go deeper and deeper and deeper. God gave a faith. Let me just talk to you just from my heart for just a sec, not even my notes. If you limit your faith or how deep your faith goes based on your previous experiences, you will never grow. You have to go deeper in your faith. Don't look at what God has done in someone else's life and be like, well, then God can do that in my life. Maybe God can do something bigger. Maybe God can do something greater. Don't limit your faith based on past experiences. God has something new for you. He has something fresh for you. God has something greater for you. But your commitment must be deeper and your faith must be deeper. See, I believe some of you have amazing faith. Now, I don't know what it is that gets me excited about this upcoming generation of leaders, but I see this generation, I see you as more committed to things. Now, I know society wants to tell us, media wants to tell us that you're not committed. I completely disagree. I think that this generation is one of the most committed generations. I think that this generation has one of the most addictive personalities as well. I think this generation has such a high desire to be involved in something bigger than themselves. And I think when all three of those, yes, even addiction, come together and are pointed in the right direction, that you are unstoppable. See, I believe this generation was made to be addicted. I just think they're addicted to the wrong thing. What is an addiction? Addiction is something that you will go anywhere for, that you will do anything for. Why? Because you have to have more of it. Can we be addicted to Christ? Now, I know that's not something that we would typically say and something we would typically think, but what would happen if we would go deeper in our commitment, if we would go deeper in our faith? I believe some of you have an amazing faith. Faith that are going to see miracles happen. I believe there's people with the gift of healing, people with the gift of prophecy, people in this place that are going to be able to revolutionize and change this world and point this generation and future generations to the one that they are supposed to be addicted to the one that they are supposed to tune their ear to the one that they are supposed to be committed to the one whose faith they will shake mountains with. Faith to inspire others to put their faith in God. Because that's a big step. You remember that moment that you first stepped out and you said, God, I'm not just going to go partway in, but God, I'm going all the way in for you. God, I'll go into the deep for you. God, I'm sold out for you. Maybe that was a baptism service. Maybe that was a moment at camp. Maybe that was a moment in a chapel. Wherever it was, do you remember that moment when you begin to exercise your faith and exercise your commitment and live that in your community? You will see others being drawn to Christ through your life. But remember, you are just the tool in his hand. See, I kind of look at it like this. Faith is a muscle. You got to use it. Now, I know looking at me, you don't think I can lift 500 pounds, but let me know. Okay, look, I know I'm a twig, all right? I don't go to the gym, and I don't work out, but I know enough to say that if you are going to get stronger, you must use those muscles. And if you want your faith to grow deeper, you must use your faith more. If you want your faith to grow stronger, use your faith. Don't wait for everything to be laid out step by step right in front of you, but just say, God, I know you called me to it. God, I believe that this is your plan for me. So even though I don't even see the stepping stone, I'm stepping in faith, believing that you will provide. Deepen your faith. Use your faith. Exercise it. You will never deepen your faith. You will never deepen your faith if you don't use it. And you'll never deepen your faith if you don't first deepen your commitment to God. But these two must happen in our lives. But before they can happen, I think this is key. And something that a lot of leaders use and something that I have to check my heart on every day. Am I growing deeper in love with my God? Am I growing deeper in love with my God? If we try to grow deeper in our faith, deeper in our commitment, but we do not strive to grow deeper in love with our Savior, what are we really pursuing? We're pursuing opportunity. We're pursuing our desires. But when we pursue a deeper love of God, our heart becomes more like His. Our plans become the plans that He had all along. And then when we do step out in faith, we can step in confidence, knowing that He's got us. Fall deeper in love with your Savior. See, when you start dating someone, and I don't know what the rules are here at CLC, but I know even when I was interning at a church, I was dating this girl, but then I did this internship, and they said, okay, yeah, that's cool, but you're not dating her anymore. I said, okay, that's not cool. But, you know, well, it happened, and it's actually a great thing because you ever look back at a relationship, you're like, thank you, Jesus. Right? Yeah, it was, yeah, thank you, Jesus. That's all I got to say. If you want to talk more about it, I'll share all my dirty stories. And just like, you know, how God has saved me from some poison in my life. But you have to grow deeper in love with the right thing. You have to grow deeper in love with God. When you start dating someone, you don't first use the word love. And if they do use the word love, when you first start dating, run. Right? Okay, I was dating this one girl, and this girl's like, I just feel like God has put us together and that we're going to change the world together. I met you 2 weeks ago, and you're already talking about marriage plans, and I'm not even kidding. And we just graduated high school. I think you're crazy. Hold up. No, we didn't even graduate high school. We were still seniors in high school. Be careful. Be careful. See, love, the word love, is reserved for a committed and deep relationship. Love is committed, or the word love and the emotion of love is reserved for a deep and committed relationship. Not just happy emotions, not just things that make you feel all warm and fuzzy with those butterflies in your tummy. Oh, I love her. Oh, I love him. No, do you? And see, and sometimes your love for God is not always warm and happy. Sometimes your love for God doesn't always give you butterflies in your stomach, but it makes you feel sick. Sometimes your love for God is so, like, scary, right? So scary. Because he's going to call you to do things that you don't want to do. He's going to ask you to go places you don't want to go. He's going to ask you to have conversations with individuals when you would rather say, I'll just live my life in front of them. Sometimes we got to grow deeper in our love with God. If we will ever see our commitment and our faith grow deeper, our love must be deeper than all of that. See, it's once the relationship grows in depth, commitment and purpose, that the word love is used. Love is not for dating. Love is for devotion. Love is for commitment. So stop dating Jesus. Right? I know, it's a little harsh. That was a fun one. I enjoyed that. But can we be real? Look, there is a time in my life, and I still have to check my heart. Am I just dating my Savior? Because, you know, when you're dating someone, you end the relationship when it's not so happy anymore. When you're dating someone, you end it when the warm fuzzies are all gone. But if you're committed, if your love can grow deep, well, then you start giving it a different title. See, Jesus didn't come for dating disciples, no. He came for a committed, deep love with you. An intimate relationship with you. We as the church are called the bride of Christ, right? So why don't we start making sure we are deep in love with our Savior? Deep, deep in love with our Savior. Matthew 22. 37 and 38 says this. It says, Jesus answered. I always love when it starts with, you know, just Jesus answered. Because, you know, typically when it says Jesus answered, someone was asking a question trying to trick them up. So, Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and most important commandment. There's so much in here. I could preach for hours on it, but I won't. Don't worry, Justin. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Can you truly say this morning that you love God with all of your heart? Can you truly say this morning that you love God with all your soul and with all your mind? Now listen, this is the first and most important commandment. If I were to have asked this morning, how do you know a Christian is in love with God? I would bet we probably would have got some answers like, well, I mean, they're going to church all the time. They're serving on time. They're involved in the church. They're trying to reach other people. They've joined God on mission to reach every person with the gospel. And yeah, all that stuff's good and great. But that's not the most important focus. We sometimes prioritize our faith and our commitment in God above our love for God. Our love for God must be the priority, because it is when we deepen our love for him that we will see that we automatically will have a deeper faith in him, and we will automatically have a deeper commitment to him. When you love something, you are devoted to it. When you love something, you'll do anything for them. When you love something, you'll change all your priorities. I don't know why I feel like sharing this morning. I definitely didn't plan on it. In fact, I was planning on wrapping up right about now. But just a couple years ago, my mom was diagnosed with a liver condition they call DILI, or drug-induced liver disease. Now, this wasn't like recreational drugs. This was prescription medication that she was given that shut her liver down, completely destroyed it. And the woman that I love most, other than my wife, which I still have a hard time dividing that. I gotta be honest, I'm a mama's boy. I love my mama, okay? And you wanna come talk to me or confront me afterwards, I'll punch you. But I love my mama, all right? So it's still hard for me to talk about this, because the reality is the doctors were talking about putting her in a medical coma and like, hey, you better come say bye to your mom because she might not get a liver in time for her to wake up. All of my priorities changed the moment I knew that I could do something. So I started looking into, well, how do I donate? Okay, oh, you only got one liver. Okay, I can't do it. But then I found, okay, they do like partial, you know, or like where they take part of your liver and they donate. And I got tested. I'm like, Dad, I'm a match. He's like, yeah, but you got a wife. And I'm like, but I only got one mama too. So I started looking at this. I was going to do anything I could. Anything I could. I was going to take any risk that I could. I was actually heading down to the campground. It was 2 years ago. I was going to be helping work a week of camp, and life put me behind schedule. As a pastor, as a leader in your community, in your respective areas, there are moments where you will have to stop everything and just deal with the situation. And right after service, we had a young lady come up to my wife and I who was struggling with suicidal thoughts. So doesn't matter anything else that I have. We're gonna show God's love to this young lady. We're gonna let her know that there's hope in Christ. So we're talking with her, and now I'm behind schedule by a couple hours. I get back and I forgot to put the wet clothes into the dryer, so now I had to wait for the dryer to finish. I think I was working camp with you this week. Yeah, sorry about that. Actually, I'm not sorry. I made the right choice. So I was. I was running late, and all of a sudden, I'm now passing through Atlanta on a Sunday evening. Now, again, I'm from South Florida. I don't know all of Atlanta's traffic patterns and all that, but from what I understood, Sunday evening heading south shouldn't be that bad, but it was bumper to bumper. Just put your car in park. And I was just getting so frustrated because I knew these guys had a lot to do, and there was a lot of prep to set up for Monday morning. And I'm passing the airport, and I get two exits past the airport, two exits, when my phone rings. And my mom is freaking out. She's like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my, what, Mom, what? The hospital just called. They told me to come in for my transplant. Okay, hold up. For real, though? Because we've been waiting on this, and we pretty much have just resolved in our minds that we got some time with Mom, but we don't know how long. The doctors pretty much said, wrap it up. So I'm two exits past the airport when I'm getting this phone call, and all of a sudden, it was so cool, all of a sudden, traffic began to move. Now again, maybe this just happens, but to me, it was more than traffic clearing. Traffic began to move. Now, I'm two exits past the airport. So I decided in my mind, well, if this is happening, I'm going to be there. So I was one of those crazy guys, and I, like, cut through the median on the interstate, right? Official use only. Well, I'm official right now. And I flipped a U-turn, and I was heading back to the airport. And I have my wife, Deanna. She's looking for plane tickets. She's like, Josh, I can't find any. There's no plane tickets tonight. And I call Delta, and I'm on the phone with this lady, and I'm like, I need a ticket to Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Tampa, in that order. Like, get me the closest to Miami now. And she's like, okay, sir, what seems, you know, why is such the hurry? And I'm like, I got to get there tonight. I got to get there now. The first flight, you can get me. She's like, well, I have one to Tampa. Oh, no, sorry. She said, I have two to Tampa. Oh, wait, sorry, just one. And I'm like, oh, that fast. Okay, I'll take it. Is that the closest? She's like, yeah, but it's $1,200. And I'm like, can you split that? So all of a sudden now, and I'm talking to her, she's like, hold it. Well, sir, what's going on? Why do you need to get there so fast? We can get you there in the morning. It's going to be like way cheaper. Said, my mom just got called in for a liver transplant, and she's going into the hospital now. I got to be there. And then I realized in this moment that it doesn't matter how much it costs. It doesn't matter how inconvenient it is. It doesn't matter what plans I have. I'm going to be there. And it was once I decided that, this lady changed her tone on the line from being kind of frustrated, because now she's empathetic. She says, my brother just had a kidney transplant last year. I know what you're going through. She said, hold on just one sec. I didn't feel like I had a sec to hold on, but I said, okay. So I'm waiting. And on the line, just silent. She comes back on the line. She's like, okay, I got you a ticket to Miami. What hospital is that? It says Jackson Memorial. She said, what's the address? I don't know. So she Googles it. I hear her asking Siri in the background. So she puts in the address. She says, okay, the ticket's only going to be $400. She got me a ticket on a flight that had no open seats. So sorry to whoever that was. but I took their seat. And she brought the price way down. But it was after I decided it doesn't matter how much it costs, it doesn't matter what plan of mine it ruins, it doesn't matter anything else, I'm committed to this. And it is when I had that commitment to this that I saw my faith begin to be activated, and I saw what God did. So now I'm at the airport, and I look like a crazy man because I'm praying in the spirit in the middle of the Atlanta airport. I park my car, and I just had a parking spot like right up in the front. Now, it was in the, like, the pay by the hour, so that was expensive. But I got a bag already packed because I'm going to camp. Now, it ain't great clothes, but it is clothes. So I got a bag already packed. So I throw my backpack on, and I'm sprinting through the airport praying in the spirit. Now put yourself in everybody else's shoes. Yeah. Oh, no. Scary, right? Yeah. Honestly, but hey, nothing happened. So I get through, and I get up to security, and the line's like super long. It's Atlanta. So the line's super long, and I'm running up. I'm beating sweat. It's the middle of summer, and I'm panicking, really. And this TSA guy comes right out in front of me. What's the problem, sir?
I go, great, I got this guy.
You know, like, I said, my mom's having a liver transplant. My flight leaves in 15 minutes. He's like, right this way. Takes me right through security. Probably broke some rules, but, like, I was through there fast. Now, I left my wallet and everything. I was gone. It was just, my mind wasn't there. Some guy's like, sir, sir, sir. And I'm ignoring him. I'm just like, I gotta go. And I'm running. And he's like, sir, your wallet. And I'm like, uh-oh. I turn around, and it's soaring through the air. And this is the real miracle. I caught it. I'm not athletic at all. I caught this thing. Yeah. It was super cool. They should do a movie. And so I get on the plane train. Anybody ever fly through Atlanta? I hate the plane train. Oh, I hate it. Welcome aboard the plane train. Okay, so I'm on this thing, and I'm in terminal T, because for some reason it goes T, A, B, C, D, E, F. But okay. So I'm at T gate, and I know that this thing's going to move faster than I can move, but it's not moving fast enough. So here I am watching the minutes go by. I have my phone in my hand. I'm praying in the spirit. I got two TSA agents on an empty train with me. No one else wants to get on the cart because, again, I'm yelling in the spirit, sweating with a backpack and a one-way ticket. So now I'm praying in the spirit, and I'm watching this happen. I'm just watching my phone. We're down to 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute. And I remember the moment I had the biggest feeling of defeat I've ever had in my life come over me. They said, you ain't gonna make it. You might not get to talk to your mom. This is a risky surgery, and the doctors make no promises. I had such a feeling of defeat and just brokenness. And I stopped praying, and I put my phone down. Just, it went from here just to here. And then, Delta text messaged me and let me know that my plane had been delayed. So I'm praying in the spirit again. All right, Jesus, you got this. And I'm praying in the spirit. We finally get to the F terminal, and I bolt out of that thing, bolt out of that plane train. I'm like leaping up the escalators like the Million Dollar Man. I'm up there, and I'm like getting up to gate 13 where I'm at, and I hear, now boarding. Like, hold up, cool, they just started boarding? So I went to the bathroom, and I got myself a $20 sandwich and a drink, and I got on that plane. God even provided a cell phone charger for me on that plane. That was kind of cool. I walked in, I landed in Fort Lauderdale. My brother picked me up. We were at the airport 30 minutes later. They were still trying to get an IV in my mom's arm. My sister lives in Tampa, and I beat her. I'm the favorite. Why do I say all this? By no means do we need to limit God on our past experiences. God had never done any of that for me. But I learned something huge through this, that if God cares enough for me to get to a hospital to just say a prayer with my family before surgery, I knew he had the operation. What purpose did I serve being there? None. I ain't a doctor. I'm not a nurse. I can't do anything. I just got in the way. But God cared enough for me to allow me to be there, to make me feel okay, to allow me to continue to be the light that my family needs because they're not where they should be in Christ. God cared enough to allow me the opportunity, and I'll definitely phrase it that way, to speak to a young lady and speak life into her heart and her soul and her life when she was ready to give up. It was inconvenient for my schedule, but that's what mattered. So I took time for what mattered. I got home and the laundry wasn't done. I'm not going to say God makes you forget things, but it was definitely convenient looking back. Because if I was in the car when I wanted to be in the car, I would have been in Forsyth at Camp Timberlake. Now, I don't know if you've been there, but does your cell phone work? Yeah. No, it don't. And are you going to get back from Forsyth to the Atlanta airport in just a moment? No, it's going to take a little bit. If I wasn't right there in that place and everything hadn't happened the exact way it was, down to me picking up the phone and happening to get the lady whose brother had a liver, or who his brother had a kidney transplant just a moment before, or just a couple months before, none of this would have happened. It was everything that I thought that was cursing my life, inconveniences in the ministry. It was inconveniences at home. It was traffic jams in Atlanta. Everything that I thought was my curse was actually what was setting me up for my blessing. Can you realize this morning that yes, you were going to face difficulty. Yes, you were going to face opposition. And even though you have a deep faith, deep commitment, and a deep love for God, that does not mean that difficulty is not going to come. And when it does come, that is when the depth of your faith is tested. That is when the depth of your commitment is tested. That is when the depth of your love is tested. Strive, young person. Strive. Do not limit God on your past experiences, but allow your past experiences to encourage your faith for something greater today. Do not be afraid to go deeper. God has you. He's got you. I don't know what miracle you need in your life this morning. I don't, maybe it's just financial. Hey, I've been there. I still like ramen. Develop a love for it. I don't know if it's financial. I don't know if it's sickness in your family. I don't know if it's just a spiritual breakthrough that you need this morning. But whatever it is, it's out there. But are you willing to wade in the waters this morning? Are you willing to get uncomfortable? Are you willing to go further than you've ever gone? Would you close your eyes this morning? And I challenge you this. I don't really see anywhere in Scripture where they say close your eyes and bow your heads. I don't really know why we do it, but other than maybe this, to allow a moment of self-examination. So examine your heart right now and ask yourself, How deep am I willing to go? Examine the depth of your commitment to God. Examine the depth of your faith. Examine the depth of your love. Lord, show us right now. Show us the hard truth. If you're realizing this morning that you need to go deeper, that there are areas in your life that you've just become satisfied catching bait fish. If there's areas in your life where you realize that maybe you're just dating Jesus, you know you need to go deeper. You need to love more, have more faith in, and be more committed to than ever before. I believe the Holy Spirit is leading you this morning, leading you into deeper waters with arms stretched out. He's calling your name. Growing up in Florida, my father would teach me to swim out at the beach. Now, I didn't know how to swim, obviously, he's teaching me. He would stand in the water at his ankles, and he would motion with his hands for me to come to him. So I'd start walking out. The water would get on my feet, and then I'd notice the water is now at his calves. And with every step forward I took, he took one step back. I kept my eyes on him, but there was a point where it's like, if I take another step, I'm gonna be in over my head. Maybe you feel that way right now. Maybe you feel like you've been treading water. Maybe you feel like you're about to drown. I want to encourage you that God is still right there. He's right in arm's reach. He's watching over you. He's never going to let you drown. It's just as my father would never let anything come against me. But God is building your faith in him. He's building your strength to go where he calls you to go.